In the day-to-day of the mainstream world, we rarely hear about the realities and voices of women living in prison. A new book, Words Without Walls, is helping to break down the silences and raise women's voices. 30 women have contributed their poetry, writing, and drawings to the compilation. The women are from two women's prisons in Nova Scotia, the Nova Institute for Women in Truro, and the Central Nova Scotia Correctional Facility in Dartmouth. In the next hour, we hear from two contributors to the book, Astrid and Crystal. We also hear from the outside organizers of the project. But first, we hear from Astrid. Astrid is a poet and writer, and she's currently serving time in the Nova Institution for Women in Truro, Nova Scotia. She designed the art on the cover of the book, Words Without Walls, and she has several pieces published in the book. She spoke with Cap Larson, one of the book's organizers. She speaks about her experience writing about incarceration and shares some of her contributions that appear in Words Without Walls. This piece was played at the launch of Words Without Walls that happened on the outside in the community in Halifax in April. Astrid starts by talking about when she began to write and how she got into poetry.
I started writing letters to my grandmother. That's where I would really think of my writing to be starting, but not in terms of poetry. My grandmother used to rhyme a lot for special occasions like Easter and Christmas and birthdays. She would always make her own rhymes. And I think that poems came into my life through a book that an uncle of mine gave me for my birthday once. And from there on, I just started reading poetry for teenagers, actually. And then I would say that I started write poetry myself in my early 30s.
Wow, and how old are you now?
I'm 39.
Wow. So you've been writing for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what kind of writing do you do? Like, if you were to describe your writing to somebody else, how would you describe it?
It's a pain killer, writing.
Yeah.
I think that most of my poems come from when I don't know what else to do with my emotions. When I have an overflow of emotions and I don't know where to put them, I think they go into poems.
Mm-hmm. What do you like to write about? Like, are there any common themes that you write about?
I don't have a common theme. I write when they come. I have to be in a certain mood to write a poem, or I have to have a certain inspiration. One poem was inspired by a writing contest, and it came with a theme. And the theme was, if I could turn back time. And that just was spontaneous. That I would have to say it didn't have really much to do with emotions, but it just wasn't a start, and from there on I just let it kind of go into its own place. And then other poems are written because of having experienced the suicide of another woman inside. That was, I didn't know what to do with that, so that went into a poem. And I didn't know how to honor her, I didn't know how to say goodbye to her. So that became a poem, and sometimes I think it's just to answer questions. They go into poems, or to just think of something, and then it becomes a poem.
And how does being in prison change the way that you write? Like, does it make you write more or about different things?
I think it does change. Because I more feelings come unprotected. I don't have the same means of pushing and repressing away my feelings that I had on the outside. So in here, feelings come and I have to deal with them in a different way. And yeah, I think that's where I started more to write, is really being incarcerated, being to have to deal with emotions that I couldn't deal with my old ways. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it changed my writing. It changed what I wrote about. I use it even to get in touch with being feeling angry, which on the outside was something that was more foreign to me. So I try to use the feeling of anger and try to change it into some creative expression. It's healthier than any other way of expressing it. Certainly, it wasn't healthy for me to repress all my anger. So I have to learn to kind of let it out in small ways.
Right. I guess there's not as many distractions on the inside, so you really are faced with it.
Yeah, you are faced with it. Yeah. And you're also faced with other people's anger, so sometimes that's a blessing too, because that can inspire you as much as your own anger.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind reading a poem out of the book for
Sure.
us? Do you have a favorite that in the book?
No. Why don't you pick one?
Okay. Could you read The Day I Saw Ashley? That's the other poem that you were mentioning.
Yeah, this is actually the poem that I did write after Ashley was able to kill herself, and also under suicide watch. And this is a different Ashley than from Ashley Smith, who last year was able to commit suicide in a federal prison. This Ashley is actually Ashley Piper that I wrote this poem for, and it's a poem that I needed to write to say goodbye to her. She has touched me in many ways. I was in the Riemann Center with her together, and this was a very young woman. I believe she was in her mid-20s, late 20s, and she drank cleaning fluids, and she was put into segregation, and she died under observation.
Oh, wow.
And this is the poem that came out of that. The day I saw Ashley, the day I saw you glowing under jail's fluorescent light, I met my sister rowing through moon-scented night. The day I saw you kicking my your curled-up hand, my chin, I met my sister licking wounds under dark, translucent skin. The day I saw you peeling apples with a disposable knife, I met my sister reeling a measurable sweetness of life. The day I saw you mopping that marbled, covered cement, I met my sister hopping on a shiny, polished moment. The day I saw you feeling humiliated by a despotic speech, I met my sister dealing with hurt in a world of bleach. The day I saw you dying as a cry for help or to be seen, I met my sister flying amongst angels, oh so keen.
Oh, that's great. I really like it how you were saying before that it's a poem to honor her.
Yeah. What I really remember mostly of her was we didn't have anything on the unit we were on, but we always collected our apples and we made apple crumble out of oatmeal packages and collected sugars and creamers, nothing, like we scraped everything together, and we had these blue gloves and these plastic knives and like a bowl, and we were able to make apple crumble, and every night she was just really wanting to make apple crisp, just sitting together. I think that was the most that I got out of it. It wasn't so much about the apple crisp. It was really about sitting together and peeling the apples and laughing about how clumsy it is peeling apples with plastic knives. And then sitting together and eating it. So it was, I remember that mostly about our time sitting at the table making apple crisp.
So you did the art on the cover.
Yeah.
And many people have actually asked me, so what does the poem on the cover mean? Would you be able to explain that? Do you want to read?
Yeah, actually, it was more or less the anger towards the shackles, the humiliation of wearing the shackles and them hurting your wrist. So I really don't have much of a meaning. Just as the meaning, there's these tools and that one day we're going to be freed of those tools that hurt us. And can I read the poem? I am not sure, but okay, I try. the faint essence of such tools used in restraint, the evanescence under the guise of security of men's manumission. Nice. That's that.
Yeah. And what does manumission mean?
Manumission means freeing from slavery.
It's an amazing, amazing drawing. Do you mind reading one other poem before we go?
Sure. Do you have another pick?
What would I pick? I think I would pick No Man's Land.
Okay, which page is that on?
16.
No Man's Land. On remand, I am my old country's no man's land. Encircled by recycled air, I see the pastor in the chair. Confined, I walk the frame of heavy metal shaving shame. On remand, I am my old country's no man's land. From between the ocean and the cedar wood, you come to see the self-aborted adulthood. Divided once was our country of origin. Freedom never dies under the wing of pigeon. On remand, I am my old country's no man's land. Gravel grows so gray in the strip. Inside here and there, I can't take a trip. As you sew another patch to life's quilt, I take the seat between innocent and guilt. On remand, I am in God's country, safe in the palm of his hand.
Nice, thank you. And is there anything that you'd want to say about that poem?
That was written shortly after my pastor visited me in Burnaby. My remand time I spent in British Columbia, and the German pastor came from Vancouver to visit me, and that poem just was written right after, because he was actually from the former communist part and I'm from the west of Germany, so there was right this image of the division that we used to feel in our old country, and I felt certainly in that moment between two countries.
Wow.
Yeah, between two lives almost. Yeah, that came from that. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Oh, no, thank you.
Thank you so much for supporting us and having our voices not forgotten, but that we are all a work in progress, and poetry is certainly one good means for me to remind myself that I'm still a work in progress, and this is one of my ways of just venting a few emotions safely that can just be on the paper and don't have to go anywhere else.
Astrid is a poet whose work appears in the book Words Without Walls. She spoke with one of the organizers of the book project, Cap Larson. Women from the two women's prisons in Nova Scotia have contributed their art, poetry, and drawings to a new book called Words Without Walls. The book was put together by Books Beyond Bars. Books Beyond Bars is a small grassroots organization that runs book exchange and writing programs in prisons in Nova Scotia. Sarah Evans is a member of Books Beyond Bars, and she joins us from the studios of CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to the show, Sarah.
No problem.
So how did Words Without Walls come to be?
I guess we started doing a book exchange program with women in the prison in Burnside, which is also called the Central Nova Scotia Correctional Facility, and it was almost something that came from the women in there. They started asking for blank journals and asking for pens, and then we started bringing that in, and then they started sharing their poems with us, sometimes kind of just reading them to us when we would go in, and then giving us copies when we talked about putting together a zine of their writing. So
it all came together at some point to be enough to make a 100-page book?
Yeah, we started... we'd put out a new kind of issue of the zine every 3 or 4 months that would just have more stuff in it instead of, making different volumes of it. And eventually we kind of got it together enough money through just bits and pieces of donations to actually publish the book. So we just self-published it and put it together. Yeah.
Those zines that you produced, were those going inside and outside the prison?
Yep, both. We'd bring them inside and they'd kind of, people who contributed to them would get to see them and be pretty excited, and other people would be into reading the poems. But then also we'd sort of sell them on the outside as a fundraiser, but also just as a way of people, reading women's experiences and, their kind of voices and emotions.
So it sort of started as an organic process of encouraging women to write and publishing those small zines and getting people sort of excited enough to put it all into a book.
Yeah, it happened really, almost really naturally in a way.
How do the women respond to having their writing published in the zine and the book?
They're excited about it. It's neat to see. We'll go in again and have a new issue of the zine. Or when we had the book, we had a book launch at the Nova Institute in Truro, and they were just really excited. We got an amazing letter from Astrid right after that. She just said, "I keep looking at it and I can't quite believe it's real." That it just seems so, so exciting to see something there that had her artwork on the cover. So. They were pretty, I think, inspired to write more and pretty excited that people would do something like that.
So tell us a bit more about the workshops and sort of the process of writing and working with women on developing their writing in the prison.
Mm-hmm. When we were getting ready to put the book together, we kind of decided to do a bunch of workshops to kind of solicit donations to let them know that we were doing this, because we had a bunch, but we wanted to get, more from more women who were inside. And so we went in and did writing workshops. But they were kind of different than, I guess, the kind of writing workshops that maybe I did in, high school or something. It was more just we'd go in and we'd give out notebooks and we'd all just do different writing exercises. And we all would, even those of us, who were there as volunteers, which was kind of funny and exciting because none of us really write poetry. So it was kind of a neat experience to be sharing our kind of stuff as well. And so we'd just kind of go around and it would be a process of writing, maybe timed kind of stream of consciousness writing exercises or writing on different topics or, pasting together letters. And words, and then a big part of it was sharing, and just people reading their stuff, and that's really the most exciting part. And people really encourage other people to sort of share what they're doing, and you haven't read yet, why don't you read something? So, pretty exciting.
And what was it like for you being a non-poet or something, and from the outside going in and sharing that experience with the women?
It's a pretty amazing experience just because it's really different than I think anything that any of us do outside. It feels really special, and the women are really, really excited about what's going on and are, pretty focused on it, and it's amazing too, just to the sort of seriousness of some of the issues that they touch upon. I think we all sort of said after the last one, we were like, I didn't want to share any of my stuff because, I was writing about, dumb things. Those guys have way more to deal with. I couldn't touch that. It feels like they really put themselves out there and really, it's pretty incredible to be around and to be witness to.
Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that, how some of the writing in the book reflect women's experiences of being inside, of being incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. It's not all writing specifically about prison or about being in prison, but a lot of the sort of themes show a lot of frustration and a lot of kind of depression, a lot of regret, but also love for their families or their friends outside, or a lot of pain at being separated from those people. So it's pretty intense, pretty heartbreaking. I think it's amazing for people who haven't been in jail or incarcerated to read, because it's just they're not voices that you find really anywhere in kind of mainstream media or press. Once in a while, you'll they have true crime novels or novels written by prisoners, but it's not with that kind of real honest emotion that some of this poetry really has.
And what kind of things did the women say about how writing or creativity or poetry plays a role in terms of surviving their incarceration?
I think a lot of them say that it's hugely just therapeutic. And for most of them, I don't think it's something that they did when they were outside. They really have taken to it there. And I mean, like, we give out blank journals at Burnside, and, you know, everybody takes them, even women who say they can't write very well. They just want them to just, you know, draw or to start to write things down, or to, you know, start a process of writing a little bit at a time, or to share stuff with their friends. So I think it's something that they do just to kind of get out emotions. And a lot of them say that being in jail is an intense time for them to kind of reflect upon their lives and think about themselves and what they've experienced. And so, you know, writing it down and getting it kind of out of their heads and onto paper is part of that.
And what have you learned through this whole process?
Oh, I don't know. That's a hard one. I mean, it's an amazing... amazing program, and I think all of us who are involved kind of, I think the fact that we have kind of contacts and relationships with these women makes it different than a lot of the Books to Prisoners programs, which, I mean, people are pen pals with prisoners and, you know, share a certain amount of themselves through that. But, you know, there's a lot of women we see several times in a row, and we may not be really close to them, but it's just kind of a connection point around books and around writing that feels really, really kind of wonderful. And I don't know, I think teaches all of us a lot, definitely.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the pieces in the book?
I guess the book has mostly poetry, and then it has a lot of artwork, a lot of which was submitted by one woman who was at Burnside for a while and gave us a huge, huge stack. And a lot of it was kind of collected over time. So some of it's maybe a few years old and some of it's more recent, but I don't know. It's mostly poems, mostly that kind of writing that sort of touches on all kinds of different themes.
What about the responses from people on the outside? I know you had a book launch in April. How did that go?
It went really well. We played that audio that Cap interviewing Astrid, and then also another woman who was inside, and that was kind of amazing. Just because we did contact people who were contributors of the book, but we couldn't really figure if any of them were going to be there, and nobody did come. I mean, some people were out, but a lot of them are scattered all over the province or, you know, are in different spots. So it was exciting to have their voices there, even if they couldn't be there. And people have, the response has been really good so far. We've been sort of slow about sending out copies and getting them further around, but even just getting in touch with other Books to Prisoners programs who are really excited about it and are just saying, oh, we really wanted to do this for so long. This is awesome that you guys did it. So that's been a pretty great experience.
And have you had any particular response from the authorities in the prison?
At NOVA, they've actually ordered a bunch of books for the staff. Like when they went in to do the book launch, they left books for all of the inmates. And then, as well as the staff wanted a whole bunch, and they've ordered some more a couple of times. So, I mean, they've obviously enjoyed it and found it, you know, something that they wanted to keep and reflect on. At Burnside, not really. We haven't had any response. I don't know.
Yeah, Burnside is the provincial jail.
It's the provincial jail, so it's a different. I think a different type of place where people don't have the same kind of maybe relationships with the inmates because it's just a higher turnover and shorter sentences.
And a lot less other programming there.
Yeah, way less programming because people are in and out so fast. They don't really have very much else going on, whereas NOVA's one of the new women's prisons, so it's way more program-oriented. And I think they, you know, kind of have a different types of relationships going on there between the guards and the inmates.
And I understand you basically run a library at Burnside because the library that's officially there isn't really got much in it.
No, the library that's there is like a one small bookshelf of like Harlequin romance novels and and Bibles, and that's, I think, that's a really all that's there, some really old novels. So that was how the program started, is that we started to go in with a usually like 4 cloth shopping bags just full of books, and we just lay them out on a table in one of the program rooms, and people can just come and check and, you know, grab stuff that's interesting to them, and then bring them back 2 weeks later when we come again. And people can make specific requests that sometimes we can fill and sometimes we can't. So they can say, you know, I'm looking for books about a specific topic, or I want the newest Harry Potter book, or whatever they can kind of think of, and we see what we can do.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining us and speaking to us about some of the work you've been up to.
Yeah, thank you.
And good luck with the ongoing work of Books mm-hmm. Beyond Bars.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
Great. We have been speaking with Sarah Evans. She's a member of Books Beyond Bars in Halifax, and they were the folks who put out the book Words Without Walls. It's a compilation of writing by women in prison in Nova Scotia. If you want to order a copy of the book Words Without Walls, you can go to the website anchor.revolt.org/words.html. That's anchor.revolt.org/words.html. It's $12 by mail order or $4 to prisoners. Cap Larson works with Books Beyond Bars in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and she interviewed one of the contributors to the book, Words Without Walls. Crystal is a contributor to the book, and she wrote several poems that appear in Words Without Walls.
I just wanted to start by just asking what kind of writing that you do.
I would have to say I really don't know, because it depends on how I'm feeling. It's something that I do just if I have an emotion and my heart feels it and I have to put it on paper to get rid of it. It's just a release. Just my first ones are more like prayers.
And when did you start writing? Have you been writing for a really long time, or is it a new thing?
I think it was 2004. I did it when I was in SEG, actually. I had never been in SEG before, and I had never been alone before. So when I was in segregation, I felt like I was in the room with a stranger, because I really didn't know myself. And I was looking out the window one day, and I seen the sky moving and stuff like that, and just words started coming to my head, so I had to put it on paper. So that's how I started writing. They had locked me in a cell on a unit all by myself to segregate me, because SEG was full. And usually in SEG you have no windows, no nothing. The light's on 24/7. You don't know the time of day. You don't know the weather. You don't have any idea what the outside's looking like or anything like that, so you're kind of you're basically oblivious to everything mm-hmm. that's going on. You have no clue. The only time you can really tell what time of day it is when the meals come. You don't get any paper, no pen, no nothing. So I remember one time I had been put in SEG, and they locked me in the shower for about 3 hours. And when they let me out of the shower, they wouldn't give me any clothes. So I was left naked in my cell with nothing. And I needed to express myself, and I had nothing to do it with. So I had myself wrapped in a sheet, and I was writing on my sink with soap for hours and hours and hours. Yeah. So you really go crazy, because there's no mirror. You can't see another face or anything like that. Pretty ridiculous, if you ask me.
And so do you have any sort of common themes that you like to write about, or any topics that come up?
I just mostly write about, like,
like my pain in life, mm-hmm. anything that's close to my heart, I try to write about. A lot, because for me, coming to jail, I thought that jail was going to be like this hardcore place that I would know how to survive. And because I basically lived like that on the outside, you know. And when I come to jail, it was nothing like that. And it really threw me back because I didn't know how to react to it because I never felt fear. I never felt any emotion except for being happy or sad or angry, you know, not even really sad because it went to anger. So I only really knew two emotions. And being incarcerated, you know, I felt all these emotions and I really didn't know what they were. I didn't know how to identify them or anything like that. So it really taught me how to identify my emotions, which helped me to identify myself. And poetry really helped me with that, you know, to keep track of how I felt.
So I know that you're in Nova right now, but what was the library like in Burnside? I mean, that's a question that we ask
all
the time.
Minimal. We were lucky to get there. I mean, like, we were supposed to go there, I think it was every Wednesday or whatever, but they only do what they feel like doing there, you know? You're basically on their watch, and if you don't make it to the library, you don't make it to the library. You guys are, like, the only ones that really we could get to, you know, because you guys came on our unit, so we were able to go to you guys to get books, and you guys were pretty much our only way of getting books on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So I remember when you guys first started coming, and we were all asking for, like, journals and stuff like that, because when you're, especially in the county, you have really nothing else to do, you know, and they take everything from you and all you're left with is yourself, you know, and that's all you have mm-hmm. to entertain yourself with is your own self, you know, so you have to really get inside your own head, and I guess this is what comes out of it.
Yeah. So I just wanted to ask you to read a few of your poems.
Do you want to read Untitled on page 32?
Page 32?
Yeah.
Okay. Baby, let me tell you what I need to say. Then you can be on your way. I gave you three wonderful babies. Now all I get is maybes. You treated me like a precious stone that you were proud to call your own. But that was when we first got together. Baby, do you remember? I loved it when you used to say, baby, tell me you'll never go away. Nobody else mattered because we were together. Where did we go wrong? Now you treat me like a stone, the kind you just throw away. Been thinking all night long, wondering why you did me wrong. My mama raised me to never settle for a maybe. You know what I need to do. I gotta get rid of you. But thank you for the babies. I promise they won't be raised with maybes. Baby, go on your way. We don't need you to stay. I'll make it on my own. Remember, baby, I'm made of stone.
Thanks. Okay, and the other one is page 77.
Okay.
And this is the one before that, when you were talking before about, like, Burnside really being so, you know, there's nothing else there that you're really faced with yourself. This is what reminded me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel so helpless. I feel like my heart has been ripped in half. Every day I feel it slow tears on my heart. I need to forget all about the people on the outside that I love so much. My family is the hardest to forget. How do you forget the people who gave you life or the ones you gave life to? I fought for my loved ones and now I can no longer fight. My world I grew up in is full of harsh words and fists of fury. Now all that I've known is odd in this new world I'm in. In this world, strangers quickly become family. They not only let you know who they are, but who you are also. The person you thought you were, you'll find out you do not like or know. You'll need to find the person you want to be and that you like. When you find that person inside, you'll also find a new world. tears will mend themselves. They will leave scars, but you will wear them proud. You'll be glad to tell about these scars to troubled ones as you once were. So someday, too, they will wear their world scars. You cannot see them. They are scars of feeling.
Great. Thank you. Okay, and then I've got one more that I want to ask you.
Okay.
Which is 47.
Okay. Today's generation only seems to think of their need to be great, the generation they conceived they should be thinking of, for today's generation will only be seen as great if the one they conceived is greater. My people are at battle with evil. It seems to be overpowering them. Please shine your light on the darkness that shadows member to. My people are proud. They will not ask for help. So I pray for my friends, and I pray even harder for my enemies, for the Lord Jesus to shine your holy light bright for all to see through the evil darkness.
That was Crystal reading one of her poems that is published in a new book. Words Without Walls is a compilation of writing and art by women in prison in Nova Scotia. The book was put together by volunteers from Books Beyond Bars. You can find out more information about Books Beyond Bars and how to order a copy of the book Words Without Walls on the website anchor.revolt.org/words.html. That's anchor.revolt.org/words.html.